All right, let me do a roll call. Bill Ray.
Here.
Yvonne Cruz. Ari Bethea.
Yeah.
David Gibbous. Simon Ponder.
Here.
Tanya Walker.
Yeah.
Stephanie Mahoney.
Okay, with that call, I'd like to call the January 11th, 2018 meeting of the Recreational Commission together. Under first item, we have consideration of minutes from the December 14th that have been circulated. Do we have any questions? If not questions, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Have a motion and a second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor of adoption of the meetings as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Post like sign. Motion carries. Next, public comment. Do we have any members of the public wishing to comment for the board? No members recognized. Moving on to item four, persons wishing to appear. Same motion. Unfinished business, item five. Do we have any unfinished business to come before the board?
Here.
With no unfinished business, we move on to new business. Florida Recreation and Parks Association, legislative priorities. Tell us what's going on.
Well, everybody was given a handout, which is a copy that lists the legislative priorities for 2018. So they are for your reading pleasure. And I guess that would be something that you could have and we could...
Any questions we can call you?
Absolutely.
Do we want us to take this home and review it and readdress it next month?
To do that.
Do you have any timelines or anything that you need any responses by or...?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Right, with that said,
you know, obviously, as always, if anybody, you know, knows anybody at the state level, any of our elected officials, you know, feel free to pick up the phone and you know, offer your support of these initiatives.
With that said, board members will review the handout and then comment as appropriate on the next meeting. Voting for new chairman. We'll open up the floor for nominations.
Well, we have a quorum, but I think it would be better if we had more people here.
Okay.
So you want to make
comments? Unless we want to do like other people and nominate somebody that's not here to teach them about
right.
being out.
That's
there is that right. alternative.
That's why you don't miss the meeting.
Especially the one where this is on the agenda.
Wants to lighten their workload.
I have no problem if it's the will of the board to move this vote to the next meeting. However, let it be recognized that if we have the same people that show up, then we'll go ahead and act on it at that time. Staff reports, project updates.
I'll go over the scope and status of each for this year. Some I will skip over because they're directly related to some of what our division heads are doing. But our ADA plan, this year's plan includes sidewalk installation at Second Chance, Anderson, Jervy Gant, Ocala Regional Sportsplex, Turnip Seed, and Polly Palmer. Aquatic center upgrades and slide repairs. That has all the documentation has been provided to procurement. Excuse me?
What is Polly Palmer?
Polly Palmer is a park off of 27th Avenue. It is behind Palm Garden Rehabilitation Center and Paddock Park Apartments. It's really one of those things. There was an agreement.
I know where you're
between the city and the developer that we don't even maintain it. Their management company maintains it. Obviously, anybody can go there. But it was basically done. There's ponds there that are, you know, DRAs, and again, they are open to the public, but they're really, you can't even see it.
Very secluded.
From the roads. It's real secluded, so people don't know it's there. You know, the intent was that it would almost be like their private park, but anybody can go there. They don't, you know,
I
run anybody.
I thought it was a private.
Yeah, it's not. Uh-huh. Like Tuscany Apartments, I think, are over there also. And anything like capital type stuff or you know, like we would be responsible for, like, you know, making it ADA compliant, which is going to be very difficult the way the lay of the land is over there to do that. There is an entrance off of 27th Avenue behind Palm Garden. And there's a tiny parking lot. Typically their staff parks there, you know, but, and then there's a pretty wide walkway that goes into the park. It's pretty. Mm-hmm. Full of ducks.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. When we first moved to there, we lived in Paddock Park on one of those units that looked right out on it. Mm-hmm. You know, nice park. There could be some more tree plantings in there, but like you said, that's with the joint management with the apartment complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, I can't remember the name of the management company, but they're pretty, they're pretty responsive, you know. I mean, because we'll get calls when they don't do something, you know, from some of the residents have learned that it's really a city thing. And but, you know, in the times past when I've called them, they're pretty responsive, mm-hmm. so we don't have any like major issues. So the slide repairs at aquatic centers, that the bids came back. The low bid missed something on the scope, so it's gone to the next low bid. So we're working on the agreement right now, and the goal is to have that work done, completed by April. Coleman Center improvements. This project includes renovation of the facility to accommodate programming and staff offices, as well as address ADA issues. That is the building over in Gant Park that the health department leased for a while, but they are no longer leasing it. So we're looking at some different uses for that building, one of which to put the recreation staff in there, because with the changes going on with the fire department, the building that they're in now is going to be a part of that project. So community cultural arts plan, I'll leave that with her. Discovery Center Kitchen, I'll leave that with you. E.D. Krosky Center, I'll leave that with the Fitness Center with John. Market Park, we're just doing phase two, purchasing tables and umbrellas to match the existing tables at the farm market. I want to add another piece of equipment in there, some type of swing, but we're just looking at, is there space? Yes, but we also don't want to get too cluttered. Fort King Tennis Center restrooms, they're about 97% complete, getting ready to do the walkthrough, so should be finished with that by the end of the month, totally. Heritage Nature Conservancy, that place is just, if it ever gets open, we're going to be so happy. But the fencing fabrication is underway. So when is the installation going to be for that now?
I am meeting with him tomorrow, because we've decided, because of the right of way, it has to be pushed back further than what we expected off the sidewalk. So we have to look at what brush has got to be cleared now with more trees.
Right.
So
yeah,
more trees are coming out.
It always seemed awful close
and,
to that sidewalk.
It'll get figured out tomorrow. We'll have them out by the end of next week, and they'll get started on the fence.
Wasn't somebody raising saying about trees being removed earlier?
No, that was years ago.
That was years ago.
Yeah. That's all along.
Yeah, that's when we got
everything's permitted now and approved.
It's approved.
Yeah. So you're going to fence around that whole park? Because it didn't have a fence before.
No, it did have berm and landscaping.
Right.
But we, with all the new added stuff, we're doing that. It makes the residents feel a little better about it.
Okay.
So. Jeremy Gantt softball field improvements. That is underway. We've met with Electric about the new lighting, and we added that in with the MLK sports lighting project, so we could do it all at once. So as soon as we finalize that, we can get that scope turned in. But that improves. It's just a total demo and redo of that field. Irrigation system, new sod. We're gonna move the fencing back to 250. New lighting, new dugouts, ADA accessible plaza, shade structure, and bleachers. It'll be like the field over at Lily and Bryant, pretty much. Jim Kirk Park playground installation is complete. We're working right now to schedule the dedication. We still have some work to do in there. Miss Kirk, we were trying to do it at the end of this month, but Miss Kirk took a fall and is in the hospital, and got moved to a rehabilitation center. So I'm staying in touch with one of her sons to see how that goes. You know, hopefully she'll get better. Legacy Park, we're working on that to recognize the people. Kathy's got to take all the information to council and get their approval. You know, we don't see any issue with that. It's just
these people that died.
Yes, Miss Miller.
Mm-hmm. She ain't the only one. The people that died.
Yeah.
You know, I'd actually thought that had already.
We've got all the documentation for the nominees and affidavits, and there's a lot to it. So Kathy's reviewing that now, and we finally got a price to do the work, and you know, the economy's real good right now, so it's really hard to find somebody to do small jobs like that. And so I'm working with Bob at Genesis. You know, of course, he finds somebody to do that, and he finally did, so I'm waiting for a final cost to do that.
I'm kind of on the same page with Bill. I thought that the committee had more of a role in this, and they were doing more of these things than what the commission's responsible.
All of that had been done months ago, that part. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, there's certain language and all kinds of stuff that have to be done citywide. And the holdup is getting it to council and getting it approved. And I think that's what she said. But yeah. The only thing, I said the same thing you said. I'm saying that the people that are dying, they're dying. There's a couple of them that passed away while we were waiting. And so I'm
Who was the other one besides
Reuben Johnson?
That's what
several
saying.
Of them dying. The wife died, about dead for Butch.
It wasn't to be a memorial park. And I don't mean to be crass, but
his wife,
Janet,
you know, she's limping. So I'm just saying.
I'm sorry. I thought when that came up, we agreed that Governor's West was going to take care of it, right?
Yeah, they would assume more of a role than apparently.
They took care of all the paperwork and the nominee part and getting the affidavit and all that paperwork together. Some of it was misplaced for a short time. Now, it's not like we haven't had it for a little while, but council has to do the final approval to make sure that all the nominees meet the criteria.
Yeah, but so that's what I'm saying. I thought that they would be doing that.
Right, right.
You know.
Right. Well,
you're saying that council is going to review that paperwork? That's not going to happen.
Well, the committee did all that. It's just anything named after somebody that's in the city, council has to approve it.
Has to approve the final person that they selected.
That's right.
Yeah, because we're going to
And I don't see them sitting on that for a long time. That would be Kathy's job to forward that to them, saying they met all the criteria. Is you know?
When does do we have a time frame of when?
We did.
Okay. I know we did. Yeah, because it having scheduled things on permits, we're not even on the agenda yet for this month, and so that means we're going to try and get a submittal in to bid on the agenda to be put on the agenda list for February, so probably get it in an approval sometime in March. If there's no questions, then maybe April. And now back to your question is, you know, if need be, I'd almost recommend getting this and doing it on an outside of agenda item and bring it, just tell the secretary that, you know, we need to bring this up under new business and just put it in, that we can drop it in the board package to where they, you know, vote on it as soon at the next available meeting. I mean, so say, I don't know when their agenda cutoff
schedule. What, with the city council?
Yeah, with the city council.
Yeah, well, we have a whole process that we have to, you know, to put something on the agenda.
Oh, no, I'm aware of, I live in those processes, and I also know that, you know, that's a 90-day process, or 60-day process, and I'd almost...
No, actually, we just have to have the agenda item 15 days before the next council meeting.
Okay.
So,
and if they can approve it then.
Yeah, and they'll. Yeah, yeah. And it's. I don't see there being an issue with it. It's just Kathy just needs to review it and make sure she's vetted it to make sure she doesn't give them.
It's just one of those things that. Everyone knows this in business and everything else. Things that are 97% complete or 100% incomplete. And so right now we've got Governor's West, we've got a legacy park, we've got individuals who are looking for recognition that we've not recognized pseudo-officially, and sometimes that last 3% can take as much emotional effort as the previous 97%.
Right.
And it's just like, let's just, you know, drive this thing home and get it on the next council agenda and get it approved so that, I mean, this was a legacy park. It wasn't a memorial park.
Right. Well, then the work's got to be done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not getting any, you know, we take care of getting things engraved. I'm not getting anything, paid to get anything engraved until it's, you know, until it's approved, too.
So that's what I mean. It's got to get approved, and so then it's got to get scheduled. And so now already we were looking at, yeah, even if all the stars align, April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, yeah, and then, you know, just because we have a contractor and a price doesn't mean they can start right away.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know.
The contractor says, well, I need 30 days notice. And so then it's April that you give a notice to commence. That means that you're doing walkthroughs and final completion the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just the way it works.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be having this discussion in June.
I won't bring it up. Either way, let's see. So, but point well taken, and I'll pass that along to Kathy. Lillian Bryant, Community Center Improvements. Project includes design services for ADA restrooms, kitchen renovations, storage improvements, and kitchen upgrades scheduled for FY19. So right now we're reviewing the architectural needs. That's kind of getting the design ready. Miramir Park development. We have the playground equipment. The signs are in. We're going to schedule a community build day with Junior League. And we had a lot of tree damage there.
Tree work's complete.
Yeah. So working on that now. Golf club, Ocala Golf Club on course restrooms on the front nine. Those are 97% complete, so they'll be done by the end of the month. We're getting ready to do a walkthrough now. Back nine, that's in the architectural needs review. That'll be done in this budget year. Park sign replacement program, purchase order is complete and installation is scheduled for February. These are the ones that we're working with growth management on, the larger signs for Tuscaloosa, Jervy Gant, MLK, and I think that's it. Depending on the funding and what happens, possibly Clyatt Park we'll get, and these are the ones that'll have the new digital signage.
Did you say something about back nine?
Yeah, the back nine over. These are the on-course restrooms to make them ADA.
Okay.
compliant. Skate park, meeting with the contractor this month. Kathy may have already met with them or are getting ready to do that. They're going to scale down the design, make it a little bit smaller. Yeah. Or we're afraid it's never going to happen. Walking trails. E.L. Foster, start walking trail. The dedication for that is Friday, February the 2nd at 10:30. That parking lot, the paving of that lot was complete. The parking lot paving for William James Start Walking Trail and Legacy Park parking lot. Those two lots are going to be in next year's budget. We're going to budget for those now. They need to be paved, but they're in pretty good, they're in good shape. The one over at the E.L. Foster Trail, it was horrible. And it was actually very unsafe for the walkers. Multi-purpose community center feasibility study. John can report on that. Well, thank you.
Quick question, and this is maybe be in the. I'll bring it up underneath board comments.
Parks, things are moving forward. We've started in installation and some installation prep work for some of the many projects Laura has for sculptures. We have, we'll start, as she was saying, as Julie was mentioning earlier, and Jim Kirk. They're grading out there this week, and I expect in about the next 30 days we'll start prepping the site for some concrete work. We're going to put in some picnic tables and some benches. We put the sway bench got installed overlooking the pond. And seating is to take place there in the next 7 days as well, and some sod to be put down to help some of the erosion issues. The fort is about 95% complete at this point. We've already had the grand opening since we last met. We had our school days, which was Friday, December 1st. We had about 700 kids out from Marion County Schools in one day. That was a phenomenal experience for us. Went over extremely well. The entire school board was out there. Administration was out there watching what we were doing and kind of making sure everything was up to standards, which it was. Dr. Heidi Meyer loved it all. She had a really good time watching the kids and seeing the programs we had set and the exhibits in place, and the whole reenactment scene went over really, really well. Then December 2nd and 3rd were the days of the actual reenactment. That was Saturday and Sunday. That went out without a hitch. Better numbers than last year. We had about 3,500 attend compared to the almost 2,000 last year. We almost completely sold out of shirts. I think we got like 8 shirts left out of, what did we order, 300? Mm-hmm. Something like that. And we would have sold more had we had kid shirts. So we have after action out, and we'll be reviewing that here this coming month and going over that to see what improvements we could do to make it a better program. Participation-wise, from reenactors and the Seminole Tribe, we had a great show by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. They came out with roughly about 12 or 15 tribal members and reenactors in the community. We had over 50 this time on that, and that went over really well. And Julie got broken in, and she was a reenactor, as we mentioned she was going to do, so that went over really well.
Did she do it again?
She didn't break no land speed records running, but she did good.
She didn't
fall in the straw.
So that, and I didn't fall, so.
On the back of your pamphlets, there's a couple of flyers for some of the programs we have coming up. Our Coexisting with Wildlife is going to talk about snakes and type of snakes we'll find in our backyards and in the urban and rural environments here. The second one, I would highly, 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 highly recommend you come to this lecture. It's a lecture on Fort Mosey, which was a very significant lecture for the African American community, or fort or site, shall I say. The two speakers we have, Darcy McMahon and Kathleen Deegan, are two of the leading experts in the state. We just happened to get them because we have a very good personal connection with Kathleen Deegan, who is the archaeologist that found the site. She is an incredible speaker. You don't normally get to see her for free. You get to see her for free here. It's just going to be a really, really good program, and it'll be held at Fort King. If you're at all into camping, into the outdoors, anything of that nature, the last flyer you have on your packet here, Ethnobotany Plant Walk with ethnobotanist Mark Williams. Mark is one of the leading ethnobotanists in the country. He runs Everyday Botany Online, which is a phenomenal website where you can learn botany just by clicking on a web page. He's also on Facebook. He is absolutely incredible. You will learn uses for your plants that you have around your house. You'll learn about native plants that you're going to find in the area and the community, from planting to medicinal uses to cultural uses. He breaks it all down for you. Really, really, really good speaker. I would highly recommend him as well if you're at all into the outdoors or the environment. Outside of that, I think we got a new ranger that starts on the 16th. He is a retired law enforcement officer from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. 28 years, just retired. 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago. He's out today doing a ride along with one of our other rangers right now, and he'll be make up our fifth ranger now that we'll have on staff. Look to him for to be a good role model for a lot of our current rangers. We have are new and young, a little less experienced than he has, but a really good guy. Been through a long process to interview a bunch of folks. And he's really, really good. Joel Mims is his name. He'll be joining us again on the 16th. It's his first day to work.
Any recreation?
So just following up with some of our seasonal activities, Let's Skate Ocala, talking about beforehand, is almost wrapped up. They're taking the last of the things down over here at Tuscaloosa. Overall, the attendance went well. We didn't know what to expect moving it from downtown to Tuscaloosa. But overall it was successful. The theme nights were definitely busier. Added that extra attraction to the attraction. You know, one of our After Dark movies was there, which was, that was a very busy night. That movie was Elf, very holiday, right? Holiday. And we actually had an elf show up, or someone impersonating the real elf. Santa was there that night too. I know we're working with Julie and Kathy just kind of review the process, see where we want to go. But the plan at this point is revisit, you know, for next year, also at Tuscaloosa. There's some infrastructure that might need to be addressed with, you know, the parking lot versus the basketball court, but.
We're working on an attendance report right now, and we'll make the decision. You know, participation was down from the year before, so we need to make the decision. Was it down because people didn't really realize where it was? I mean, as much stuff as we put out there, but, you know, not everybody reads the paper or goes on Facebook and things like that. So we need to make the decision, is it because of that, or is just the best place for it downtown? Is that where we're going to get the participation? Because it is downtown, and, you know, we tried everything here with you know, lighting in the park. So, you know, like that parking lot over there has to be resurfaced for that rink to be placed there. And that's where it needs to be. We're not going to displace the basketball players, you know, anymore. You know, it's not just going in and putting an overlay on that parking lot. It's going to be, you know,
doing the parking doing lot. Doing done as an overlay.
Right. Doing. It's got to be. It's the parking lot has to be. I mean, pretty much demoed and redone.
If we do
for its use without the ice rink, it can be fine like it is for a little while. So you know, we've got to be fiscally responsible and do the math and see is it, you know.
Where would we is it viable? Do it if, you know, if we did it downtown because of the motel and all that stuff?
We don't have a place. That's why it has to move here. So this is where it's going to be, you know, from here on out, unless something major changes downtown. I mean, we had looked at, and I think this has probably been discussed at this meeting, we had looked at putting it on Citizen Circle, but because of the elevation change there, it would have cost almost $50,000 to build a subfloor to put that rink on. So is it the novelty because it's downtown, people are downtown anyway, or, you know, that's what we've got to consider all of those facts. So,
and if we built that subfloor, it could only be used at Citizen Circle.
Yes.
Because of the, it's such a drastic difference there.
You know, it's
so Citizen Circle wasn't designed as a multi-purpose.
Right. Facility. And then you use of the stage for the holiday season when it's there, unless you do something in conjunction, you know, with skating.
Comes in if, you know, the
a lady that works for a Main Street group in Virginia called me. She used to be here. She called me. They had gotten a grant and they received a grant to lease a rink like we have. So she was calling to get some advice. And I said, and also advice if it was, I'm interested to see if it was successful, but I'm going to try to run her number down and find out. But she asked me about, you know, if it was, you know, advice about purchasing it, because I guess they, you know, if it was, you know, if it's popular to. And the first thing I said, unless you have a dedicated place in your downtown that'll be there forever for that rink, my advice is not to get it. Because they can't, you know, they don't move around really. I mean, yeah, they're mobile, but
it's difficult
to where you're going to place it, you know.
Mobile to a perfectly flat surface.
Yeah. With, I mean, you know, as far as sitting on the basketball court, it was, you know, that part worked out well. But again, that's one of our most popular outdoor basketball courts in town. And, you know, we're. So, in thanking them for their patience and understanding, we're putting together a little deal for them, and you know, with some giveaways, T-shirts, little basketball keychains, and thank them for not saying bad things about us, and you know.
Well, they said.
Not that we know.
They said.
Yeah, they probably did, but
we're talking about they didn't do bad things.
Yes. That's really. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where judgment comes in.
Yeah, they didn't.
Showed good
judgment. I was just trying not to say that because I'm
good. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so thanks, John.
How does the community feel about visiting Tuscarora after hours? After hours being at night, and I'm wondering if that played into, you know, like, do we want to go to Tuscarora for the skating? Yeah.
We have. It's actually it's pretty busy here at night. The playground is very busy, and
I know I see a lot of big kids over there. But
the baseball field, a lot of people that play tennis, you know, basketball courts, and I would see. I mean, that playground. If that playground wasn't there, I don't know how many people we would have had skate, because I would see a lot of people walking over from the playground. When I was watching, so
thanks, Sean. For Let's Skate, that the night we had the movie there in conjunction with it, I'm thinking, I think I said about 185 people at the movie. I didn't even count the skating rink. I didn't count the playground. And they were hopping during the duration.
It was a busy night. Yeah, I was there. It was a really busy night.
They're like those movies.
It's going to take some time to, to get rid of the stigma that Tuscarora is a bad place to be. Because I still have people saying stuff, and I'm like, you don't know really what you're talking about. I mean, I mean, when you've got 300 or 400 people in this park at one time, utilizing this park for what it's supposed to be, you gonna have 2 or 3 people moving through here that shouldn't, you know, be around. So, but no, but they know.
But luckily, all those people are gone.
Yeah.
The Kyle Kays and
yeah.
those people that were on city council and had the little downtown businesses that were so critical of the homeless and the transits that hung around the AX, too many of them out there, and all kind of, you know, it's unsafe. That negative mindset, most of those have moved on, and mm-hmm. I think it's the image has improved a lot. Mm-hmm.
The object is to, when you get into rebranding anything associated with a redevelopment area, a CRA, is it wasn't designated as CRA, it wasn't because it was great and wonderful. What we're doing is incremental steps, and I heard you're exactly right. It takes time. And I see this year the fact that they came, that's a success. Now word of mouth. Next year, that's where they know it's going to be, because we know communication in Ocala stinks.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just, it's word of mouth. It's go by and see it. I don't. You can have a flashing neon lights out there on the 40 that says go this way, and they won't read it.
I know, it's crazy.
And so now find out I would advise do a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, and next year how we're going to address the weaknesses and how we're going to build on the strengths.
Right. And my guess is we would give it another, you know, we would give it another year to see. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know that, you know, for sure. I don't want to put Kathy on the spot, but that would be my.
We need a big flat parking lot, and so what do? You go up to the Brick City parking, the Gaslight parking lot, and and wipe that one out, and get people trying to come north across 40 as a draw. Then you'll run into all the people that park there that are just going to have a mental meltdown.
Yeah.
Even though we build a new parking garage.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, if we want to keep it, we do need to figure out a way to make it work here, because you're going to displace somebody, you know, if you use parking lots downtown too. So it's. But anyway.
I can tell you with the concerts we've recently had in Tuscaloosa, it's getting a lot more exposure. Mm-hmm. It's my staff that's directly responsible for the safety of folks there and dealing with the group of folks that we don't want there or that shouldn't be in there doing illegal things. It's drastically changed in the last year alone. We don't have the multiple K2 guys laid out on the lawn every morning, 9 o'clock. I haven't seen one 10 months probably. Which, I mean, we're talking, I used to deal with 5 a week out of there. The busiest fire department was this one here because of that. We haven't had that problem in 10 months. The concerts, the more good atmosphere you bring, the further those people want to be away. They don't want to be around those folks. Laura's addition of all the sculptures and the sculpture walks and all that coming, that's another thing that's going to deter people that shouldn't be there. It's going to push them out. You know, they don't want to be around the people that
are
legitimately in there for good reasons, because I know it's going to bring attention to them. So it is, Simon, it has really, really, really changed in the last year for the better, much, much better. And if you come here 5 o'clock, when you leave here, drive out that back and look and see how many kids are out there. I mean, even on school night, you still have a couple dozen kids out. And you come on a Saturday afternoon, there's 300 kids on that playground.
Yeah.
You know, the parents are picnicking on the ground and just watch. I do it with my kid there. So it's a good thing. It's a good problem to have.
The more events, like you say, you're going to deter those people, because the events is where you have your security and police. They don't want anything to do with those people. With the police and...
It's even just the foot traffic. It's not even...
It's not even that, yeah. It's not even that. And we have a whole... different breed of park ranger now than what we've had in the past, which communicates with these folks. They talk to them as if they are people, which they are. You know, they're human. They got a heart like everybody else, and they have those conversations now. And they're not like this anymore, and they understand why the park's here, and
they tend to move off to their separate area at that point.
If you have too much enforcement, then it takes away from the park.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because I'm not going to feel safe every time I look up. There are four officers out
there. Yeah, you're thinking, why are all these people here? Yeah. This place must not be, why are all the cops here? Yeah. The park rangers?
I think also that the citizens have stepped up and made calls to Wrecking Parks or to whoever if they see something out of the ordinary.
That tennis court has always been heavily used since I've been here, and since it's been refinished, it's used even more now. That's complete now, and it gets 10 o'clock at night. It's lit up till 10 o'clock.
Pickleball.
Mm-hmm. And see, you got different people using the park now. The people that are using the park now are not, they're not bothered as much by the transits and stuff. You know?
Right.
So they don't bother, they're not bothered by it, so they don't bother them. Neither one bothers the other, so that each one goes on about their own business.
Simon, and you and also, I can play pickleball now. We can run now. Enough to play pickleball.
Man, and also, next year, you'll have fewer because they're still trying to develop the little staging area over near Interfaith.
The pavilion?
Yeah.
Like the open air pavilion?
So once they get that,
I'm not sure what they're calling it.
That'll be a draw to keep them out of here.
Yep.
Okay, cultural arts.
I think John's.
Yeah.
Oh.
He got interrupted.
Yeah. I interrupted him.
So, Crosby Fitness, we are working on turning what was formerly known as the back meeting room into a small fitness center. We're still working out logistics of what we can fit in there and then figuring out. We have some money budgeted and we'll just try to see what we can do for this year, but that is on its way. I know Kathy and Julie have a draft layout that we're gonna look at and revisit and try to tweak with what budget we have at the moment. And then operationally, we'll figure out how it's gonna work, but it will be a community-based, anyone can use it. We'll just have to figure out hours and staffing and whatnot. CDL, the bus, is working fine now. We've used it for the Fort King Halloween Trail. We used it for the weekend of the reenactment.
Used it this past weekend.
Kiefer just used it for a volunteer trip.
To another reenactment in personnel.
I know Charles has used it once or twice. Bridget has used it for just for a regular program. So we're getting it in there, and we'll start using that more. Along with that, our recreation leaders, we've asked that they also get the training, and hopes that they have more. You know, there'll be more staff to drive it for outreach events, programs, and just regular use. Summer camps for the two recreation centers. We had a meeting to talk about what the camps should look like, and the biggest thing is we kind of revisited the camps, and Lily Bryant for this coming year will be the affordable camp. We're kind of more focused on a camp opportunity, that people will be able to come in, and it'll be more affordable for families, especially families with multiple children. The camp at Crosby, we're going to focus kind of back on the city kids theme, have a little bit more themed programming. Not that Lily and Brian is a free-for-all by any means, but Crosby, kind of look at the theme and kind of tie that back into a more, more educational opportunity, a little more themed, kind of a little more structured, and maybe tying some science and technology, looking at some educational opportunities for that camp.
Justifying the cost is what you.
Yeah. Doing. So both of those camps this past year, there was a field trip fee that was rolled into the enrollment fee, mm-hmm. which added $15. But if you have multiple family, $15 times three or four gets expensive. So the other thing we're doing for both the camps. Not that we're not doing field trips, but we're not doing glorious field trips,
yeah.
in the you know, the luxury liner with caviar and all that stuff. I mean, if there's a field trip, it's going to be more reasonable, and maybe one or two field trips for the whole summer, or maybe replace a field trip with a summer bash. And once of those, try to looking at costs and expenses and make it affordable, because we know there are other camps in the area that if you want those experiences, they're also available. Feasibility study that we are moving forward. I know Kathy has reviewed some, I guess, more scope of work, and we're working through that process to get a consultant on board to review what we, you know, what the community needs, what our needs are, in hopes of down the road is developing a community recreation center. Right now we're looking at the Royal Oak property in that area of town. You know, what the facility will ultimately look like is yet to be determined, but multi-purpose recreation facility, athletics, probably some senior services. Don't know if aquatics are going to make it into the building or not. But there is also going to be a component where the library will have a section of the building. So library services and related things to a library service will be available on that property as well. So, you know, it's a multi-purpose campus for that. But that's working through the process. And the last thing, the summer movies we talked about, we kind of refocused those. For the most part, there's one a month. The next one is Recreation is partnering with Fort King for a movie. Highly recommend, if you have the opportunity to come out, do so. This is The Reverend, and it's...
Just don't bring small children.
This is an adult.
Yeah. Don't bring small children.
Yes. Yeah, I thought the movies were supposed to be for everybody, though. And this is a great movie, don't get me wrong.
This movie is rated R. Yeah. You can't tell.
They're going to be different. Some may be more oriented towards millennials. You know, some kids, some families, some, you know.
So I know, I don't have the full schedule without pulling on my phone, but so we have this one, which there is a historical tie to the fort and the fort era. And Kiefer picked this one. I know
we have one.
Laura has two movies that are more artsy.
The one in December is family friendly, but the June one is definitely an adult only.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the art part. We have.
And we try to market it that way.
Yeah, some of the other movies.
A life story of an artist.
Some of the other movies, we have some of the more, I think Wonder Woman is coming.
A lot of action in it, but it's historical.
Is it basically
the name of it?
Oh, really?
It was the one that, not the Civil War, about the Civil War, the superhero one. I forget the name of it. But, you know, so it's more...
The Marvel one,
yes,
Civil
the Marvel,
War.
Marvel yeah. Civil War. Then there's, I think, an old school one. Kiefer's bringing back one for his Halloween. And then I think I have Remember the Titans. It's another... So it's not definitely new, but we're going to do that. And I'm almost certain that's at Webfield. So there's a... Kind of a time.
Adam's Family?
Adam's Family is the one for that Kiefer's doing for the Valley program. You know, it's, and you know, we're trying to make them family friendly, very affordable, because they're free unless you want to buy snacks. And, you know, this year we're adding a hot dog machine, and hot dogs will be available. And we'll leave it at that.
Laura's grilling them.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that hot dog machine for 45 minutes. Right.
My turn?
Yes.
All right, Tanya, so I'm going to try to go through this pretty quick, but if you haven't heard, we got the Levitt grant, which means we are going to have the 10 concerts. Jay Bailey from Marion Cultural Alliance and Amy Casoletto from here are going to go to that conference the end of this month to learn everything they need to know about Levitt, and then we will be working with a group. I mentioned to Simon, we're going to be putting a group together to kind of go over our thoughts for the music and get some feedback. So that's coming up. On next Wednesday, we have Randy Cohen, who is the Vice President of Research and Policy with Americans for the Arts, who's going to come and talk at the Chamber Breakfast. If you don't have a ticket, you should get a ticket. If you don't want to come to that one, he's going to be presenting throughout the day at different venues. And we can get that list out to you in case you want to go to one of those instead.
There'll be something coming through the city manager's office as well. There's a stakeholders meeting that'll be at CF, for instance. It's kind of after hours in case you can't make the breakfast or whatever. It's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He's a national spokesperson. He trains politicians and everything else, and he's going to be talking about our study about Ocala and Marion County. And at the end of that, we are also going to have our community cultural arts planning consultant that we've engaged with, who's going to sort of introduce himself so that everybody can see who he is, and you can kind of field questions during the networking part and all of that, too. So that's next Wednesday, if any of you guys can come. And then next Saturday is the closing of our Super Kids exhibit. I gave you guys the little invitations last year. Lucky Diaz is going to play over in the art park. They just played on New Year's Eve at Legoland, California. They had over 20,000 people, so I'm hoping we get people here. They just did a tour in China and Japan, and they're coming here, and then they're headed to Mexico. So this is really an opportunity for people that they should come to.
And I'm telling everybody I know, the kids,
yeah. I mean, they're voted number one children's album of the year. They've got 3 Grammys, 2 Emmys, first Americans to win a children's Latin Grammy. They sing in English and Spanish. Like, if they don't come, I don't know. Hopefully
next
they
do. Next best thing next to Rafi.
That's right. And they've been on Disney and Sprout and all that. So, and then the thing, and I'm going to try to go like only through February. So the next thing after that will be the cattle drive for the Discovery Center. So we're going to do the cattle drive and cowboy festival, which is February 10th. We have 2 headlining acts for that particular event. We are working through the contracts for those particular headliners, and those will be John King and Delta Ray. They're both country musicians, and then we have Macy Mack, who's going to open for us, and then we also have, what kind of dancers are they called? Jeff has engaged with some dancers that are going to come out and basically do like square dancing lessons and stuff on them.
Oh, right. I forget what he called
them. Yeah,
it's a different title.
But it's like to engage the crowd to come and.
And of course, we'll have the cattle drive and all the kids' stuff going on. And Contra dancers. Yeah, thanks, John. So that happens on the 10th. February 15th is BOBA, which is Beginning of Bolted Art, which is our VIP reception for the sculptures that are all going to get installed the second week in February. This is a really big event.
When is that?
February 15th.
February
15th. I highly suggest that you come. Our entertainment for that night is Macleet. She is an Ethio jazz musician, and she is phenomenal. She played at the Americans for the Arts National Conference this year. She was born in Ethiopia and grew up in Gainesville. So she's going to come back and play, and she's one of those people, when she plays, you can't sit in your seat. So bring your dancing shoes. And we're going to have food and drinks and stuff. Those tickets are $25. Does that seem high? I heard the little whistle. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. And then the next night, she's going to do a lecture at IHMC in partnership with the Racial Harmony Task Force. So she'll be speaking over at IHMC. So it'd be great if you could come to both. That way you can hear her perform, and then you can go and see her talk, and it'll be fantastic.
Is there a charge for
There's no charge for the lecture.
The IHMC is
no
free.
Charge for the lecture. It's a twofer.
He gets to dance.
Hey, we might be able to come up with discounted tickets for the Rec Commission. How about that? All right, so then we just installed a new sculpture over at the Art Park on Tuesday. The piece was done by a Texas artist named Sebastian Stoddart. It's pretty cool. You should check it out on your way out or maybe tomorrow. It's really cool. And that's a permanent piece that was commissioned, so it's going to stay. It'll be with us. The Max Project. Oh, thanks. Here you go. So this is about the lecture.
Good ears, Amy.
And the event. So... Next project. The MAX project, we have submitted the architectural plans to the planning department for approval. The architect's working with them on any adjustments that need to be made. I'm going to start preparing the scope so that we're ready to bid that out. That's actually on my calendar for tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. We are also working on the drafted lease for MAX, which is the Magnolia Art Exchange, the art incubator we're going to put in the train station. So in all likelihood, the construction of that project will probably start this spring. The kitchen at the Discovery Center is completely dismantled. I actually got samples to pick out for the cabinets and the countertops today. So we're moving forward with that. They're going to start working on AV equipment for upstairs probably the second week in February. And also, that might happen before February. And then the second week in February, they're going to start climate controlling the garage for our exhibits. So we got a lot going on over there. Outside of that, we have all kinds of stuff going on. We got 28 events planned just for cultural arts in 2018. So if anybody tells you they don't have something to do, they are not looking very hard. So.
Okay, with that, just one question. With the activity with the Ocala Symphony building that we redid 2-3 years ago.
Right.
And all that, I'm not here, but is that getting weekly use, monthly use?
Almost. And we partner with the Riley when we have events on the outdoor stage over here. They use their green room. So like for the cattle drive, we'll be using the green room over there in the patio area. We used it for Harvest Fest when we had our headliners. That was where they were able to go in and have their, time without being around the public and that kind of stuff too.
Great. The other question I have, we were talking about, trees that from the hurricane and everything that have gotten blown down, we've cleared up, debris, everything else like that. Do we have a program where we coordinate with the city with their tree mitigation bank? Because at times it comes up to replant trees.
Yeah, no, we do not. No, we haven't as of yet. We're still cleaning up some tree stuff.
Yeah.
I can tell you that, the final numbers are right at 52,000 for damage of that. A couple small minor areas. There's still one that's an issue at Pine Oaks near where Irie lives on that road all the way to the back. We've gotten it off the property owners. We're dealing with a few more. But as far as the mitigation and replanting, nothing as of yet. And the worst area of that was Pine Oaks, which is going to get mitigated because that's about to become a wetlands park.
Yeah, right. Preserve
So that's what I mean, is where it comes into where, it's just something to start thinking about. No one thinks about trees when everyone's parks are mature and full of mature trees. And then what happens when their parks are full of mature trees, particularly water oaks, they have a tendency that they all blow down within 5-10 years.
But the good thing is, where the big trees came down, like Pine Oaks, you don't have to. That's being resolved with the park. The other big one was Fort King. I don't have to there either because none of it's in the open area. It's all way back in the wood line.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't lose anything of significant value. Invasives, water oaks, laurel oaks, is what we lost.
The water oaks at the preserve, if you don't even have a storm, you'll go out there and there'll be 2 or 3 of those down.
Oh, yeah.
Things fall all the time.
I lost one live oak at Fort King, which was one that I intentionally kept in the clearing where we made the fort because it provided great shade at the bottom of the hill, and I lost that one. That's the only live oak we lost.
Trees are funny, is that everyone loves them, and when they see the mature ones, they always think about the mature ones. They forget that somebody planted it 25 years ago.
Oh, longer than
but,
now.
Yeah, 25, 30, whenever. But they always,
when it goes down, you're not going to plant one the same size.
Yeah, they don't come the same size, so they only start growing when you get it in the ground.
There's good aspects to it in the fact that, like Miramar Park, we lost a big oak. That oak was going to have to come out anyways because we're putting a playground in. So fortunately for us, it was the right one.
Yeah.
We're fortunate for where we lost the trees. The Jervigant, we didn't lose but a handful, and I mean like five, literally. Mm-hmm. It was all a lot of small stuff, so.
Good. Any more comments from board members?
Yes, I'd like to make a couple observations. Softball lighting and Jeremy Gant, Julie, was that budgeted for this year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be a total renovation of that field, just like when we did Scott Kerrigan baseball field. Yeah, down to nothing, all new lighting, everything.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking about it. It's taken the last 3 years to get the lighting at Webfield. And it's not in yet, right?
Right. This is all going to be on the same project. The tennis courts at MLK, Webfield, and the softball field, we're doing all at the same time.
But I'm still saying it took 3 years to get there. And this was just put in the budget this past year and is in there. So that you understand where I'm going. STARS, Success Through Recreation and Academic Support. Mm-hmm. Kathy mentioned the possibility of trying to do, you know, something like we used to do with STARS, mm-hmm. going back into the public and subsidized housing to bring kids and mainstream in our after school programs. Mm-hmm. Please keep that on the front burner, you know, just what we can. Yeah, you know, right. You know, sometimes if you can pull 5 or 10 kids out of there, you may be able to salvage 3 or 4 of those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And guys and ladies, you don't know what these kids go through day to day living in subsidized housing areas. You have no idea what they hear, what they see, what they put through every day. And if we can get them out of mainstream, see school they forced to go out, okay? But they're going right back, right? But in the afternoon, if we can get them out 2 or 3 hours, that's still some of that drama that they may not have to go through. And maybe we can make them touch something out here that's going to put a light on in their heads. And they don't want that type of life anymore. So I'm just saying, a lot of the young ladies that are in those places, their parents was in there, their mother was in there, and their mother was in there. We need to break that cycle. So if keep that on the main burner, you know, just try.
Oh yeah, we've got plans to do the neighborhood outreach is what it's going to be called.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we was talking about the possibility of having some activities. I think you said something about a bash or something.
You were talking about summer camp.
Well, the summer camp, the idea is instead of having an expensive field trip, having like a end of summer camp party type of thing for those in the...
Yeah, but I wanted to just share with you, the sheriff department had what they call Harmony in the Streets, which is a block party for the kids that participated in the various summer recreation programs throughout the county. And they did that, and it was a free event. They brought the bounce houses and everything else out. I'm just saying that maybe something that we can piggyback on, and we can get OPD to do the same thing. You know, if the sheriff say...
Yeah, after they do their pack program.
That's a good idea.
Was it part of Lights On After Dark or whatever?
It was a part of that. That's how it initiated years ago. But it was called Harmony in the Streets. Just throwing some stuff out there where we don't have to pay for anything, but just have our staff there and provide the activity and the security for us kids being there. The sheriff department would have their sheriff people out, or OPD would have their people out.
Didn't OPD do that at one time?
What we used to have was
the fire department used to come and open up the fire hydrant.
They used to have something in the parking lot at the police department.
Oh yeah, we just had that. Wow.
You know, but they used to advertise and make a big deal out of it, you know.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, that was a red ribbon kickoff.
No, I don't think so. But you know, down that line, you know, just to piggyback on that, I went to one of those type events down in Lakeland, Florida. They have one every year that's sponsored by the police department and the city of Lakeland. And I mean, it's over where the baseball stadium, Detroit Tigers? Mm-hmm. It's over in that area at the stadium. Huge area. man, it is nice, and I mean, the whole seems like the whole city of Lakeland, or Polk County comes out to it. It's really great. You see how they put that one on.
I think it's just a good opportunity also to try to get parents out that don't normally come out, and maybe we can, you know, share our literature about our programs and activities and try to get them to get their kids out into our stuff.
Yeah.
It's a difficult situation, but we can make it work. Yes.
I reached out to you last summer, and this is in conjunction with what you're saying now. Kiefer's putting on summer camps out of Fort King now. And Kiefer and I are pretty adamant about gearing him towards underprivileged kids, which we did last year. Out of 40 kids, we had 38 kids sponsored. They didn't put one penny into the pot.
Right.
38 of them sponsored. And I called you about a reference for some of these kids.
Yes.
These are the kids we need to talk to.
Okay.
So, you know, we can get with you when that time comes. I'm sure Kiefer won't, you know, from as easy as it was to get sponsorships for these kids last year, I don't think we'll have a problem doing it this year either. So those are some of the kids we could use. And this is a week-long summer camp.
Right.
And they're getting experience that I'm going to imagine they're not getting currently. This is outdoor, historical, or natural resource program.
Let me ask a question. Will transportation be provided, or parents have to provide?
They have to bring the kids to the camp and drop them off and pick them up.
Pick them up, okay.
Yeah.
That's something to look at. If we can come in with a bunch of transit opportunities, if we got a place where we could pick up three or four kids from one pickup and drop off.
We used a lot of the youth ranches last year.
Figure out how we can bundle.
And,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Some of the Arnett House, I think it's the Arnett House, some of the foster homes, and we brought kids in, and it was great. They had an incredible experience.
Yeah. We went through this IRE also when we were doing the West Ocala Visioning and through there, and we had all these great programs come in, and they were doing them out at Westport, and everyone's all excited and sports and all this kind of stuff. And then we do a study, we find out that 47% of the community doesn't have access to a car.
Well, that's why I mentioned about transportation.
Yeah.
It's something that we should be thinking about. We got a little time right now. Think about and try to work out a way that we can get the kids there and back, you know.
I mean, even if we got a contract, you know, the MPO, that's our organization, the city of Marion County and Ocala. That's not a standalone organization over there. We tell them what they need to do for service.
And I have found out that they are pretty good about doing what they can to help support.
Oh, absolutely. They got to know about it, though.
Yeah, they got to know about it. Yeah. So we have to go. But anyway, I don't want to keep.
No.
I just want to make sure that I brought those things up, something that we can look at, something that we can work toward. And hey, there we go.
And I know this meeting's gone long, but I don't want y'all to leave here without y'all knowing this. Kathy can report on it more in length at the next meeting. But we did we were invited to a Marion County School Board meeting by Nancy Stacy. Well, it wasn't their meeting, it was their workshop. And to discuss getting going with that interlocal agreement that Kathy and Gina with Marion County, along with Bobby James, tried to do probably 8 years ago or something like that. But most of the board, superintendent, didn't seem to be interested. This time they are. I mean, this was just last week. So we're going to look at using NH Jones just as a little trial and see how that works. The idea being, of course, not every school would it wouldn't work at every school, but mainly the ones that are like in a neighborhood. So like NH Jones is in the middle of a subdivision. Mm-hmm. Fort King Middle School is in the middle of a subdivision. The county, there's schools out in the county that are the same way. That's where, you know, county Parks and Rec would come into play. But it would be to share facilities. So basically it's a win-win for the taxpayer because the taxpayer already pays taxes for all these. Why keep buying things over and over again?
Yeah, we came up with that out of the visioning work.
Yeah.
The 20.
Yeah, so anyway, but
2009.
Yeah. So, and I think since that happened, I heard back from Nancy Stacy that one of the other members would like to add another school to that, and I can't remember which one it is now, but So anyway, so that, like I said, it's real early in the process, so Kathy can talk more about it.
At least we're having a dialogue.
But yes,
and that's
exactly.
Like after school program.
Right. Well, basically, what it would be like when the school's finished,
yes.
When they're say if a school is done now they have extended day, so that's going to play into this, especially when the time changes. They do that till 6,
mm-hmm.
So it would probably be more beneficial to us when you know there's the different time of year and it stays dark, you know, it stays light longer. But for instance, say the schools that are finished with their facilities at, it doesn't include indoor facilities, at 4:00, then we would assume that property and all liability. And we may do programs. It may just be the it may just be the facilities, like if there's a playground or a basketball court. With the intent down the road, if this works, like I live right next to Fort King Middle School. There's a softball field on their property. That the grass has since grown over, the clay and things like that. I understand their resources are, you know, like all of us, however, our resources are for that. So we would, there would be language in there, you know, when this really gets going, that we'll maintain the softball field. So the schools can, you know, they have a clay infield, you know, they have a clay infield softball field to use for PE and for their programs, and then we do too, once school's out, and we assume that, you know, we could help them maintain backstops and outfield fencing and, you know, put their basketball courts, their asphalt courts and basketball courts and ones that have tennis courts on our court resurfacing program. You know, we could work things like that out, that, you know, we share facilities, we share use, we share maintenance costs, and, you know, that helps us meet our level of service for neighborhood parks, so we're not buying property.
Are you looking at going back into doing summer recreation in there?
We haven't discussed that. Okay. Yeah, that's
because they really cut. They really did a bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was.
I went to summer rec when we just talked about that.
Oh yeah, it was like my favorite thing.
That's
yeah. Like my life. You know.
Every summer. Yeah. Yeah.
So what you're talking about is only during the school year.
No, it would be year-round.
Yeah.
I mean, in the summer, we'd really like make out. You know?
No, they got everything.
So I think and this is the beginning of something, you know, futuristically very good for everybody. Thank you.
All right.
Motion to adjourn.
So move.
Yeah. I'll second it.
Thank you. Yeah, Bill, if you wouldn't have showed up when you did, we'd already been home watching.